Let us continue in prayer. Lord, for your light that shines in our world, we praise you. For your light that has guided us and given us life through the years past, we praise you. And we thank you that as we begin this new year, your mercies are fresh every morning, every moment, every new year. Grant us, even in the midst of the darkness around us, and even the darkness in our own hearts, grant us eyes to see your light, to believe in your love, made known to us beyond a shadow of a doubt through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant us the grace to receive your light this morning and to go forward as children of the light into the world, shining with the light of your presence, your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thankful for a new year to begin and to seek God's light and presence and guidance in the year ahead together. And very hopeful I am. I guess that would sound like Yoda a bit. He wasn't in the latest Star Wars movie. But very hopeful I am that the light of Christ would shine in us and through us this year more than ever before. And I would invite you as we begin this year to pray that that would be so, that the light of Christ would shine here at Salem Covenant Church and through us in such a way that people would come into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit, of the Father, of the Trinity, and come to know the fullness of life that God intends for all people. It's wonderful that this Christmas season we get to celebrate the light of Christ. I pray that this coming year we will share that light in such a way that the joy that we experience in Jesus Christ will be full in the experience of others with us. Many of us gave and received gifts over the past couple of weeks. Gave me an opportunity to think back a little bit on some of my favorite gifts through the years. I don't think it was probably a Christmas gift, but one of the gifts that really stood out to me was the gift my father gave me when he dug a hole in the asphalt of our driveway and put a basketball hoop in there. As I look back, some of my fondest memories and certainly most consistent memories are of me out there on our driveway just running layup after layup after layup, shooting from different places on the driveway, enjoying being out there and just playing basketball. It was a fun gift for me, but of course, that gift was all the better when I could talk Chuck and Alan from next door to come over and join in. Or when Kevin from a couple of blocks away, or George up the street, when I got other people to play basketball with me, the joy of that gift was all the greater. Because after all, basketball is a team sport. It's meant to be played, to be enjoyed with others. So many of the gifts, the good things that we enjoy in life, are meant to be that way, to be enjoyed together. I think of music. It's great to sing in the bathroom and to hear my voice, you know, reverberating around the walls in there in the shower. But it's so much better when my voice is lost or joined or within the chorus of God's people here at Salem Covenant Church. The gift that we have talked about this Christmas, the light of Christ that we talked about Christmas Eve, this gift of all, most important, of the light of Christ that shines upon us, this is a gift for us to be sharing with others. You know, for each one of us, the first question is, will we receive that gift, as in the passage that we talked about Christmas Eve, or that was just read for us? You know, the light has come into the world, and to all who receive it, who believe in Jesus' name, they're given the power to become children of God. I mean, that's the great gift that God offers us through Jesus Christ, to not just have warm fuzzies about this light of Christ that shines, but to receive that Christ, to believe in that light, to come alive to all that God intends as we receive the gift of life in Jesus. But that gift is not meant just for us alone. It only comes into its fullness when we share that light, that life, with others. This is what the Apostle Paul is, or Apostle John, actually, is talking about in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This joy that John is enjoying, he's the one who wrote about this gift of the light shining in the world, of the importance of receiving that light. This John writes also that our joy won't be complete until this good news is shared with all, until all people know the light shines for them and they receive that light. They come alive in that light and join in the fellowship of God's people together. It's John's desire that all people be gathered together in the gift of God's light. And of course, this is at the heart of the Apostle Paul's ministry. In the book of Ephesians, we read of Paul being in jail. And the very reason he's in jail is because the gift of God, of God's light, wasn't just for some people. He would have been fine if he had just believed that God's light, God's invitation to life into God's family, comes to some people. You know, it comes to the Jewish people in the case of the world he was living in. But Paul and the apostles with him were committed to proclaiming that the good news of God's love is for all people. That you don't have to become a Jew first before you can become a Christian, but that through faith in Jesus Christ, you can become a part of God's family right now. This is what got Paul in jail. He was proclaiming, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also," speaking of the Gentiles, "you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God." And today's lesson from Ephesians begins right there. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. "This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. You see, Paul, his whole ministry, his whole life is caught up not in simply celebrating the light of Christmas, the light of Christ that comes for him, but in sharing that light with others. This is in our DNA as followers of Jesus Christ. In the midst of our busy lives, it's easy for us, in the midst of all our ministries and church, all the good things that we're doing, it's easy for us to lose sight of the fact that at the very heart of who we are and of who we're called to be is sharing this light that is given to us with all the world. That's not always an easy word for us to hear. It's not a simple thing for us to imagine that our faith is not just a private, individual kind of faith. Here in America, we tend to think everything is private and individual. But our faith is a public faith. Our faith is a faith for all people. This light that we're given, that we celebrate on Epiphany Sunday today, is not just for me, or me and you, but for all people. And that got Paul in trouble. And it might actually get us into some discomfort from time to time, too, if we're going to be honest and faithful. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. This is his call. And of course, it's ours too. The Great Commission, Matthew. Jesus' parting words to the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples. The end of the Gospel of Luke, you are witnesses of these things. Just before Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, in all Samaria, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This light cannot be contained. It's not just for us. And as we think about 2016 and the invitation God gives us to join in with the movement of his Spirit in this world, I think there are two things out of this one verse that I'd like to truly emphasize. The first is that if we're going to share this good news with others, we better get to know it ourselves. Believe in ourselves, right? I mean, I think in the midst of the challenges of our lives and of our world, the busyness of it all, we kind of can lose sight of that. This grace was given me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. Do we realize the boundless riches of Christ, how much God's love is poured out for us in our world? The Apostle Paul almost trips over himself in Ephesians in trying to communicate how boundless these riches of Christ are. Chapter 1, verse 3 and following, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Or in verse 5, he destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. And he goes on and on. Do you get that overwhelming sense of abundance of God's love for us? I could go on. There are verses after verses, and I'd invite you to read through Ephesians later today. I remember back being in a clergy group with a spiritual director, a nun, who would just kind of invite us into conversations with each other about where we were seeing God at work in our lives. And a question that she would ask from time to time when we'd be talking about something going on in our lives would be, you know, if Jesus were sitting with you in the car, looking at you, what would his face look like? What would be the countenance of his face toward you? And over again, what came to me was he'd be looking at me with a smile on his face, with a loving face. I mean, that's what Jesus is. This message from God, that God is looking upon us with a face of love. Can you really believe that in your own life? Can you believe that Jesus is looking at you right now, sitting there with you, looking down upon us right now with a face of love? That whatever the shame might be, the guilt might be that you are struggling with, that he is looking at you and wants you to know he loves you. That whatever the loss might be that you've experienced in your life, whatever the grief might be that you're going through, the challenge right now, can you believe that he's sitting there looking at you right now and he loves you? He's letting you know that that love of God is beyond your comprehension. And it's true. That as we go into this world ahead, this year ahead, in this world, and the challenges that we are facing here in our own nation, and in our communities, and in our world, and we think about the darkness that is enveloping us, can you believe that Jesus is looking upon you with a face of love? The Apostle Paul, writing in chapter 3, a little bit after today's passage, verse 16, this is his prayer for the Ephesians, and his prayer, I would say, for us, certainly my prayer for us. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Do you have any idea how deep and how broad and how high God's love for you and for us is? Do you believe the good news? And can you allow that good news that you really actually can't quite comprehend it, yet God invites you to glimpse, to get to know more and more? As we look to Christ and we come to know this love more and more, this love that goes beyond our comprehension, to be rooted and grounded in it in the midst of the challenges that you are facing today and no doubt will face tomorrow. Jesus is the face of God looking upon you with love. The boundless riches of Christ. Paul wants us to know this. And we really can't share it with anybody else until we know this ourselves. Isn't that true? As we come to the table this morning, we're invited to come and remember, to know a little more deeply the truth of this love of God poured out for us in abundance. And then, like Paul, we're called to share this good news, to bring to the Gentiles, to bring to those who are not in the faith, in the family, to bring to them this news, this good news, to share this with others. I think about the candles that we lit on Christmas Eve, those little lights that we shared. We couldn't light them ourselves, could we? I mean, hey, did you just stand there staring at it for a while and thinking, I'm going to make my light shine? We needed some help from one another. The light needs to be shared. We can't do this individually on our own, but we can share that light one by one, from person to person. And as we do, the light comes alive for the whole world. This is that great mystery that Paul is talking about. When he says that in former generations this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by his Spirit. That is, the Gentiles, all people, have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, sharers in the light of Christ in this dark world. You know, this is the invitation of Christ for us to become a part of this work of God, work of Christ in the world, of sharing this light. We lit these little candles, but I've got to believe that the love of Christ that we have to share, the life of Christ that we're called to share, is more like the glimmer of a sunrise that you see in the distance. You think, oh, that's a pretty nice little light over there. But you have no idea, as it's rising up over the horizon, just how grand this light is. How powerful this light is in the way it's going to change everything. That's the light of Christ that we proclaim to the world, that we're invited to share with the world. This is the light our world needs. There's a story of a boy who was traveling in Europe with his family, and he visited a lot of cathedrals, and he loved looking at the stained glass windows. When he got back, one of his teachers asked him, what did you like most? What did you see that really caught your attention? And he said, I love seeing the stained glass pictures of the disciples. And the teacher asked him, so what is a disciple? And the boy said, well, a disciple is someone who lets the light shine through them. And I think about God's call for us in 2016. God's call for us to be those kinds of people, those kinds of disciples, who are not just living our own private individual faith in our own quiet way, but we're seeking to let the light of Christ shine through us, yes, through our actions. And yes, through our words. To share the good news of God's love, of his light that shines in the darkness. For us, in the midst of the raging storms of this world, to be rooted in the love of Christ. And lit up with the love of Christ. In the midst of what we'll see in this year ahead. To let the hope that is within us shine through us and be shared by us with the world. That we would invite people to come here to Salem to hear the good news. Our joy won't be full until we do. This gift of God poured out for us is meant to be shared. And like the Apostle John, we write these things, we share these things, so that our joy and others' joy may be full. As we prepare to go to communion right now, I invite you to bow for a moment in prayer and pray that even as we come to the table, you would come to know, to believe the love of Christ for you, that he is smiling with love upon you. That you'd be strengthened by this grace you receive. to go forward and share Christ's smile with the world. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that your light shines for all the world to see. Grant that each of us here this morning would, as John puts it, receive the light, believe in your name, believe in your love. And God, grant us the grace of your Spirit to do more than we know to even ask for or imagine this morning. That the grace we celebrate around this table might be known by all. That the fellowship that we enjoy around this table this morning might be shared by all. To the glory, O God, of your name, we pray in Jesus' name.